the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 11. This is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
My name is Indio Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. This is Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And we've got three shows to talk about today, so let's just dive right in. First, Julinda and I are going to talk about Oedipus, a Gospel Myth, at Firehouse Theater through February 23rd. The mythical king of Thebes discovers that he's fulfilled the prophecy that we all know about, that he would kill his father and marry his mother. So first, I just want to say this needed more gospel and less Greek. This is really just the classic Greek presentation set in a church with three women singing gospel and a preacher, Jeremy V. Morris, who's always great, and he was great as the preacher in this, and they serve as the Greek chorus, but everything else is just the basic Greek play with lots of dialogue, very over the top, very declamatory.
And I think that there was an attempt made to try and reconcile that kind of like a Southern Baptist church feeling with the Greek drama.
Right.
And
it just didn't work.
It didn't quite work. Yeah. But I do have to say, though, that Jeremy V. Morris's performance, he actually starts a little ahead and he's standing there greeting the people as they come in.
Maybe complimenting my coat.
Yeah. he was talking to people and making it very interactive. So he did have that kind of a church atmosphere there. I did enjoy the trio. They were uneven as singers, their total presence together really worked
reacting
very well.
To what was going on. Yeah.
And that the first song that Shalimar Hickman Field sang was this old hymn I'd never heard before, and she did a really good job with that.
Speaking of the actors, Dale Hopkins played Oedipus, and I thought he did a commendable job, but again, he was just trapped in this declamatory, broad style. The rest of the cast was good. Nobody was really bad in the show. I thought everybody did a very nice job. It just is leaden because there's so much to say, and it's so repetitive. Director Vinnie Gonzalez, he created some nice stage pictures. I thought there were some beautiful moments, and I think that Stephen Kohler's lighting kind of helped that. But he really didn't create much drama in the actual production. The pace was kind of the same all the way through, that same intensity that never went up or down, and it just kind of made it even more challenging.
We're talking of the stage pictures, though. Naomi Kaiser, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce the name, was the costume designer. The color coordination, I thought, was very well thought out, that everything just kind of blended together and made this It was neutral, but it was very intentional, and it also worked well with Vinnie Gonzalez's set, because not only did he direct, he designed that set, which I thought was kind of interesting, with the floorboards extended from the
curved
audience and then
the,
curved all the way up that back wall and then kind of like blended into the horizontal slats.
Right.
And the way the lighting came through those horizontal slats at the back was really kind of interesting at some points.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is you came out humming the set.
Well, and then I didn't even mention the throne.
The throne was kind of an interesting thing that turns around. I think it was interesting that they kind of wasted all the money to have it rise and fall for a gag that lasted 10 seconds.
You could have missed it.
You could have missed it. And I'm sure for the money it cost him, it probably could have been missed. But I think overall we're saying this is a challenging play because it is a traditional Greek tragedy with a little bit of gospel sprinkled around it.
Although I did hear among the chatter in the audience, there were some people who absolutely loved it.
Well, that's always the case. But I don't think we were those people.
No comment?
Well, we're commenting now. And we have been talking about Oedipus, a Gospel Myth, which is at Firehouse Theater through February 23rd. Now Rich is going to step in, and we're going to talk about Cyrano de Bergerac, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill Theater through March 3rd. This is a classic about a witty poet with an extensive nose who helps another man woo the woman that they both love. Rich, what'd you think?
I thought it was really charming. I thought it was funny. In the lead, you've got Matthew Block. He's obviously done Shakespeare before. He seemed to have a real command of the language, and he was an engaging presence on the stage. One of the funny things is people keep talking about him being ugly, but he's so good looking that even with that nose, you're like,
he still
this is a
handsome,
really good looking guy.
Yeah, well, what did happen, and I'm sure you know this, Andy Boothby was supposed to play Cyrano. And unfortunately, he died a couple of weeks before they started rehearsals. And so instead of recasting his role, they just took everybody in the cast and kind of moved them up one. So Matt, who was supposed to be the handsome Christian, became the ugly Cyrano. And Yeah, he's not that ugly. And that put David Janosik in the role of the handsome Christian, who was very funny, who did a nice job in the role. Unfortunately, he's not handsome. So that was kind of a little bit of disconnect. You just have to kind of accept that.
I think he's a good-looking guy.
He was a nice-looking guy, but he was not handsome. And they said handsome probably 8 times in the script.
Sorry, David, you don't do it for Jerry.
Yeah. Rachel Rose Gilmore was a lovely heroine. She wasn't gripping, but she was attractive and nice.
I like her very much as a performer. I think she's an incredibly gifted comedic actress. I don't think she always has the dramatic chops that I would like.
Right, and this is one example of that.
Yes.
Right. John Moon, who was the guest director on this, I think he staged it well. He allowed some of the dramatic moments to breathe, and I actually found the final scenes were very touching.
They were slightly lacking for me, but I think overall I had a really good time, and I think most people will enjoy the show.
Right. It's very entertaining. Frank Foster did a kind of a simple set, but it made a nice, attractive, formal background for the action, and Joe Duran's lighting, of course, helped that, because basically it was the same set, and he just changed the colors for each different locale. Marlynch Cravey beautifully applied her design skills to assemble that array of costumes. She did not build the majority of those. She borrowed a lot of them from local theaters, but she did build a number of the dresses, and they were very lovely.
I have to disagree. I don't think they had a consistent through line. I thought, especially in Rachel Rose Gilmore, the dresses were very frumpy. And, you know, you've got the cape that both Cyrano and the Duke wear. They both wear that cape, but there's supposed to be a difference between the two, I would assume. I do have a little bit of an issue with the costume. They weren't glaringly bad or anything, They didn't quite do it for me.
Right, okay. It's always gratifying when you see a theater take a chance on a classic like this, and it was nice that they did a nice job with it. I enjoyed it, and I thought it's worth seeing for people who've never seen or experienced Cyrano.
I completely agree. I thought it was fun and funny and charming, and yeah, definitely worth going to see.
And we've been talking about Cyrano de Bergerac, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill Theater through March 2nd. And now Julinda and I are going to talk about Huck and Tom and the Mighty Mississippi, which is a Virginia Rep production at the Children's Theater at Willow Lawn through March 3rd. This musical skims through the stories about Mark Twain's most popular heroes, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. What'd you and your grandchildren think, Julinda?
Yeah, well, actually, this time I had a panel of experts with me. I had 3 of them, 2 10-year-olds and a 4-year-old.
Wow.
And even though I thought the production was very energetic, very peppy, I thought that James Henley and Joel White as Tom and Huck respectively gave very energetic performances.
Right. I especially liked John Henley. I thought he was all over physically. He was just jumping around and moving around, which was kind of fun.
Caitlin Snead as Aunt Polly, I thought, was a nice, solid presence. But I really love Rachel Jones as Becky. She was cute. She was perky.
She was very spunky. Yes, yeah. I like that too. Yeah.
However, though this is recommended for ages 4 through 10, I think it's better for the kids who are maybe 10 through middle school.
Yeah.
I asked my little panel of experts about, you know, what they got out of it, the first thing they said was, "We liked everything." And I said, "Well, can you be more specific?" And they couldn't, because it was kind of over their heads.
Right, even though
several times throughout the performance, the actors urged them to, you know, go get the books. And then I was thinking, do the parents realize that these books have been among the most banned books in America? They might
especially
not be
for a 4-year-old. Yeah,
they might not be able to find the books. And if they did, they might be surprised at what's actually written on the pages.
Yeah. I thought it was an enjoyable production. Kikau Alvaro, with the director, he had plenty of energy on the stage, and he efficiently used the crates and the little elements to make it more interesting. Everybody was fun. The songs were okay. I think the whole show was enjoyable, but it wasn't like an outstanding production, which they often do for those children's theaters.
Right. And again, I think it was way above the heads of the younger audience members.
Yeah, you kind of have to know Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn to appreciate it. Speaking of which, we have been talking about Huck and Tom and the Mighty Mississippi, which is a Virginia Rep production at Children's Theater at Willow Lawn through March 3rd. And there you have it, 3 shows by 3 reviewers. And I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with even more.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org